verses here, verses 1 through 12 in Proverbs chapter 3. And maybe tonight we just take a little bit of time to glean some truth here that we can apply to our lives during this time, obviously. But I think just in general we can apply to our lives. Listen to the Word of God. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word and the wonderful truth that is here. We thank you, Father, that as we turn to you, as we acknowledge you, Lord, that you do make a way for us. You point us in the direction and you clear the way for us. And so I pray maybe there's one, Lord, that is listening to this message that that is searching for the way. I pray that you would show them Christ. I pray that you would reveal to them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he is the only means of getting to you. So we lift that up to you. I pray, Father, you would take your word tonight, you would apply it to our hearts. I pray that you would you cleanse us, Lord? If we have sin that is unconfessed, would you show that to us so that we might confess it to you and might turn from that sin, that you might cleanse us and renew us? Lord, would you, with your Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts and minds, and would you empower us to be the people that you've desired for us to be? Would you help us to be a light in dark places? Would you help us, Lord, to be peace in the midst of confusion? And so, Lord, we lift that to you, lift it up to you. We surrender ourselves to you, Lord. We give ourselves to you and ask that you would use us according to your will. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. In the Hebrew Bible, it's the third part of the canon of the Old Testament, and that is called the Writings. In the English Bible, we consider this to be a part of the wisdom literature. And obviously, this is a book filled with much wisdom. In fact, back in Proverbs chapter 1, the writer of the book of Proverbs that put this together, he said these things: to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. And so the book of Proverbs begins with this idea. In fact, Proverbs is a word, although it's contested into what exactly that word does mean in Hebrew, it points to the idea of a wisdom for life. In other words, if you want to know how to live wisely, if you want good instruction or good information on how you can live a productive life, a meaningful life, it would be followed by going through the book of Proverbs and adhering to the teachings that are here. These are teachings that lead to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And in Proverbs chapter 3, this is part of the prologue of the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, we see a number of commands that are in this section of the book of Proverbs. In fact, as you look at this section here, you see both positive and negative commands, things that we should do and things that we should not do. And as we have said many times in our church, God's commands are not suggestions, they are commands. I would say they are commands that we should follow because they bring with it much fruit. In fact, as we look at Proverbs chapter 3, every command is met with a reward in this section. Do not forget my teaching. Do not let your heart, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days, there's a reward that is there. Following the word of God, listening to the instruction of God, turning your heart over to God will lead to a prolonging of your life in general. Obviously, for us that are children of God, we recognize that trusting in the Lord leads to eternal life. And that is definitely a prolonging of your life. But everywhere we see in this section a command, we see some kind of reward that is given in response to our obedience. And so we're to have kindness, and we're to bind those around our neck. We're to write them on the tablets of our heart. And as we follow the Word of God, as we hold to the Word of God, as we show kindness and hold to truth, what will we find? We will find favor and good repute that comes from God and from man. And so, once again, all the way through this section here, it's a command that is met with a reward. Maybe that's not how some people think about God, though. I think, in general, a lot of people think of God as simply one who gives commands. God is a God who just tells us what to do. But I want you to know that the Word of God teaches us that God not only gives us instruction, but He gives us instruction that leads to rewards. In fact, I would say to you, it's not only that God gives us instruction, it's instruction not just for His benefit, it's for our benefit as well. God wants us to live a wholesome life. He wants us to be productive in life. He wants us to find success in life. And we're going to see in Proverbs chapter 3 what it really means to find success in our lives. But let's begin here at the beginning in verse 1. My son, or my daughter, my child, if you will, do not forget my teaching. Proverbs chapter 3 begins with this command that is focused on the Word of God. You may not see it in the English, but in the Hebrew text, it's, my son, do not forget my Torah, my teaching, my instruction. And we know that the Torah points to the first five books of the Old Testament, the first part of the canon, which we call the Pentateuch. And so, do not forget my teaching, my instruction. And we might say, the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I mean, what profit is that to me? But as you read that Pentateuch, as you read that section of the canon, we recognize that it's pointing to Messiah. It's pointing to the idea, leading to the idea of trusting in that God is going to send one who is Savior of the world. And so we are not to forget God's teaching because it points us to Christ. Forget not my teaching. This idea of not forgetting is something that we can do. As I get older, I recognize there are some things I can't help but to forget because my mind is getting slower. But it's not really talking about that. It's not as though we can reach into our mind and make ourselves remember things. It's talking about the idea of being mindful of the Word of God. To care about the Word of God is basically saying, don't become careless about my teaching. Don't get to the point where you don't regard my teaching anymore. Don't get to the point where you haven't looked at my word in a long time. But my son, do not forget my teaching. Hold it dear. And in fact, he says, but let your heart keep my commandments. It's obviously the word heart points to something deep within inside mankind. It's our inner being, if you will. It's the deepest part of man. It's what we hold as central to our being. When we say our heart is poured out for something, it means it's very serious. It's very deep to us. It's very involved in our emotions and our feelings. And so it's not just let your mind be engaged in my commandments, but let your heart be engaged and keep my commandments. It's a heart issue. God is not just looking for obedience. He's looking for people that love to obey Him, that want to obey Him. And I would say to you, it's not as though God is looking out, wondering if some will do that, because He knows that none will do that. But what He does is He changes our hearts. The Old Testament, New Covenant, the idea that God was going to take out the stony heart in Jeremiah chapter 31 and Ezekiel chapter 36, that God was going to remove that stony heart that was in His people, and He was going to replace it with a heart of flesh that would be endeared to the Word of God. And so God says to His people, let your heart keep my commandments. Our heart should be involved in the things of God for length of days and years of life and peace. They will add to you. length of days and years of life, that's important. But I would say to you, peace is even more important than all those things. This world is looking for peace, but it will never find true peace because it's looking for peace in all the wrong places. Peace comes as a result of a right relationship with God. And a right relationship with God occurs when our heart is in tune with His commandments and we are in tune with His Word. And so let our hearts not be at a loss for the Word of God. And let us not forget or lose our care for the teaching of the Word of God. And let us find as we do that, that God will give us peace. In fact, the Bible tells us that He will give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. I have to say, I was thinking about this today as I was looking through this passage. I was thinking about the idea. I see a world that around me is confused and discouraging, no doubt. And there was a part of me that wanted to become discouraged, but I felt so encouraged today because I knew that our God was working in the midst of all this turmoil. And I know that our God is the God that does work all things together for good. And I believe in this current situation that we are facing, even though we miss looking out and seeing your faces here before us, I recognize God is doing something in our church. And I believe that once we get through this situation, we are going to be a stronger church. God's working. God is not caught off guard by this. And God is greater than any virus that we'll ever face. Peace will be added to you when you follow God. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. In other words, if we have the Word of God in our heart, if we have a desire to keep the commandments of God, surely we would recognize the greatest commandments are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so, obviously, if we do those things, we're going to see kindness and truth that come out of us as a result. We should bind them around our neck, and we should write them on the tablets of our heart. What's the reward for that? So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. God and man. It's a joint thing here. But you will find favor. You will find grace. There's a sense of grace that you will find as you write kindness and truth upon your heart, as you wrap it around your neck, as you take it where you go. You will find good repute with God and with man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. We could talk just about these verses here. Obviously, they are stocked with gold mines of information, but also wisdom for living. Trust in the Lord. It's not just a matter of trusting in something. It's very direct here. It points it out in the Hebrew text. There's a way in which it points to the object, which is the Lord. And we are not just to trust in something or anything, not to trust in ourselves, though the world tells us that's what we should do. We are to trust in the Lord, for He is really our only hope. We place our faith in the Lord. We have our confidence not in flesh, not in blood, not in other people. We have our confidence in the Lord. And as we place our confidence and our trust in the Lord, we will find that we have peace because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I love the way the Proverbs states that because it basically says there's no part of your heart that should not be committed to faith in God. There's no reserved spot for anybody else. It all is devoted to God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. This word lean points to the idea of stability, if you will, to support yourself. You know, when we get tired, we lean on something. Today we were digging holes for a new porch that we're building. And as we were taking our breath, I found myself leaning on the shovel on occasion when I should have been digging with it. But I was leaning on it for support. And that's what we are to do here. We're not to lean on our own understanding, but we're to lean on the Lord. And we're so apt, we're so prone to lean on our own understanding, aren't we? We so easily gravitate back to the idea that we have experience and we have understanding, but it really comes down to that God is the only one that gives us wisdom, and so God really is the only one that understands everything. And so we can't lean on our own understanding, we have to lean upon His understanding, because the writer of Isaiah says it this way, that His ways are higher than our ways. His purposes, His plans, they're higher than our ways. Our plans and purposes are not the same as God's. His are different. His are greater. His are wiser, if you will. And so, trust in the Lord, not yourself. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Two different words are used here. I don't know what your translation says, but they're in verse 6a, it's the word ways. And then in the verse 6b, it's the idea of paths. And so ways points to the idea of your dealings, your operation, what you do throughout the day. We are to, in all of our ways, whether it be at work or whether it be at, for leisure, or whether it be for recreation or whether it be for school or whether it be for investments or whether it be in relationships or whatever the case may be, we are to lean upon the Lord for understanding, and we are to acknowledge Him in everything that we do. God wants to be acknowledged in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect of our lives, He wants to be a part of that. And so we are to, in all of our ways, we are to acknowledge Him. And I would encourage you, whatever you're going through right now, whatever trials you are facing right now, turn those over to the Lord. Begin by, first of all, acknowledging Him. Acknowledging that He is able. And acknowledging that the circumstances that you are facing, He's not unaware of those. Acknowledge that He is understanding of everything that you're going through, and He is able to make a way for you. We saw that last week in John chapter 14, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that He is a way maker for us. So in all of our ways, in all of our dealings, and in all the things that we do, we are to acknowledge Him. We should go to the Lord, and we should ask Him, Lord, should this even be a desire in my heart? This thing that I desire, is it from You or is it from me, Lord? Is it of my flesh or is it of the Spirit? Show me, Lord. Reveal it to me. We acknowledge Him in everything. And as we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways for decisions that we make in our life, there's a promise. And He will make your paths straight. He will straight. It's not just the idea that God will point you in a direction. It's the idea that God will show you the way and He will clear the way for you. In all of our ways, as we acknowledge Him with our questions, our concerns, our troubles, our trials, our difficulties, our hurts, our pains, our confusion, all those things, as we bring all those things before the Lord, He will straighten it all out. And He's great at doing that. He's the best at doing that. We acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and He will straighten the path for us. He will open the doors for us. Sometimes He closes doors because that's not the way He wants us to go. And so He closes the door and He opens another door for us. And as we continue to acknowledge Him each step of the way, by the way, that's the way the Lord wants us to follow Him, each step of the way. He doesn't want to give us just the direction for this year, but every day of our lives, He wants us to acknowledge Him, and every day of our lives, He wants to walk with us through this life. That's why we, with the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. This day, Lord, give us our daily bread, because every day we need the Lord. We lack wisdom. James tells us, if anyone lacks wisdom, and it's written with the presumption that we do lack wisdom, because we do, because only wisdom comes from God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and He will give it to you. He will not hold it back. And so every day we need to come before the Lord, and we say, Lord, this is Your day. I give this day to You. I'm asking, Lord, that You would, in all my ways, would You open the path for me? Would You direct me? Would you straighten my way so that I walk according to Your plan and Your purposes? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That's a good challenge for us. Because once again, some of us are educated. Some of us are way educated above our intelligence. Right, Danny? And so sometimes it's easy for us, especially if you have a specialty. If you have a specialty that you're well-educated in, you have received a lot of training in, you have a lot of experience in, it's very easy for us to look to ourselves as wise, to depend upon ourselves, to make a name for ourselves. But the Bible says, do not be wise in your own eyes. There's a sense of humility there. If not before men, at least before ourselves and before God. There's a sense in which we should say, Lord, I don't have all the answers. And it's at times like this that we're facing in our lives that maybe God has allowed some of these circumstances to show us just how vulnerable we are, just how weak we are, that a little virus can literally stop the whole world. And here many of us are experiencing very difficult things just because of a little thing that has come into our world. And God says, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Now, it's not really talking about the idea of being scared of God. Although I would say there is a healthy sense of having a fear of God. For he is, as the writer of Hebrews would say, he is a consuming fire. But it's really pointing more to the idea of reverence, respect. Do not regard yourself. Instead, show reverence for God and turn away from evil. God wants us to turn away from evil. God wants us to abhor those things that are ugly to him, that are hurtful to him. So we are to not be wise in our own eyes, not give ourselves the answers that we think are right, but we're to look to God, turn from our evil ways, and when we turn from our evil ways and we humble ourselves and we pray, God hears us. We're told that. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Healing. Sometimes healing of the soul obviously is better than healing of the body. There have been many times that if I was given the choice of hurting physically or hurting spiritually, I would have chosen hurting physically. There's nothing like the joy of a soul that is right with God. And here it says, once again, when you fear the Lord, when you reverence God, when you turn from yourself and you turn to God, you will find it to be healing for your body. You will find it to be refreshment for your bones. That's deep down in your body. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Two different aspects of honoring God. Obviously, honoring, I think that we understand what that means, to show, once again, reverence or respect for God, to show gratitude to God, preference to God. And there's no doubt in verse 9, this is the idea of preference. We're to give preference to the Lord instead of to ourselves. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Obviously, that goes against our culture. Because in our culture, we are told and we're taught that you acquire wealth for yourself. But the Bible teaches us that we're to honor the Lord with our wealth. Because we recognize that we're simply stewards of the things that God has given to us. And once again, let's step outside of our cultural box and let's recognize that wealth is much more than money. It's much more than material things. God has blessed us in so many ways. And the greatest way that God has blessed us is Christ. The most valuable thing that God has given to us is salvation through Christ. And surely we should honor the Lord with the salvation that he has given to us. That's why Paul would say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Honor the Lord from your wealth, those things that you have, those things that God has given to you, that you can hold in your hands, that reside with you, those things that are tangible, that you actually have. You should honor the Lord with those things that you have right now. But he goes a step further. And from the first of all your produce. So honor him from your wealth, those things that you already have. Everything you have is the Lord's. And you should honor him with everything that you have because it has come from him. But every new thing that comes to you, you should be giving some to the Lord. Once again, I'm not talking strictly about money. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about anything, because we know that our God is the God from whom every good and perfect gift comes. I doubt that any of us have had gold bars or money drop down out of heaven. So obviously those gifts can be far beyond the idea of finances. Every gift that God has given to us, all kinds of gifts that God has given to us. We could go through Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at the spiritual gifts, that precious gift that God has given to us. Those should be used to honor the Lord. But all of your produce, all the new produce, the first of all your produce, the first fruits, if you will, when you get an additional blessing from God, you should honor the Lord with it. And once again, the Bible teaches the kind of giving that we should do is generous giving. Not just legalistic 10%, but we should give with a grateful heart. We should be giving to the Lord with joy. Listen, once again, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. I think it's a challenge for us because right now, we are mostly thinking about how we can conserve things. We're thinking right now about how we can hold on to things. I was looking this morning once again, and we're two slices of bread short of a loaf. And I have not seen much in the grocery store. And so I wanted to have a piece of toast this morning, but I decided to conserve that instead. And so I think we're all kind of in that mode right now for different items. We're in a mode of conserving. But the Bible says that we should honor the Lord with those things. And so I would encourage you, I would guarantee to you that as you honor the Lord with your produce, whatever that may be, and honor the Lord with your wealth, He will replenish it according to His will. Look what the Bible says. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Once again, this contrary to the teaching of the world. The world says, acquire, 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 so that your barns will be filled. And the Bible says, honor the Lord, and your barns will be filled. Jesus operates that way. When we look at the New Testament, we see once again that He came not to be served, but to serve. We see that he came to give His life. We understand the Bible teaches that if we want to gain our life, we must lose our life. And here the Bible says, honor the Lord from your wealth and your produce, and He will fill your barns. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. I want to end with this thought. It's a difficult thought, actually. Do not reject the discipline of the Lord. There's no doubt that hardship is used for various reasons by God. Sometimes hardship is a punishment for our failure and our sin. Obviously, that's in Scripture. Many times hardship is God trying to get our attention, trying to open our eyes, that we're to place our trust in Him. And sometimes God disciplines us when we are not obedient to Him. And we are told here not to reject the discipline that comes from the Lord. In other words, not to refuse, not to turn away from, not to push it away. But we are to embrace discipline that comes from the Lord, because whom the Lord loves, He corrects. And why does God correct us? Why does God discipline us? Because He wants what's best for us. He wants the very best for us. And He knows that the very best for us only comes when we obey Him, when we hold true to His word, when we don't forget His teaching, when we hide His word in our hearts, when we bind them around our neck and we write them on the tablets of our heart, when we trust in Him with not just part of our heart, but all of our heart, when we don't lean on our own understanding, but we acknowledge God in all of our ways, when we don't consider ourselves wise in our own eyes, when we don't lean to our own understanding, but we fear the Lord instead, when we, instead of hoarding things and trying to acquire all kinds of things of the world, when we instead honor the Lord, He knows that is best for us. He knows that it results in instruction for wise living. And so let me encourage you during these difficult days that we face and difficult circumstances, and some of you are facing very difficult circumstances. Some of you do not have any work right now, and you don't know when that's going to come back. And we understand that. I want you to know the Lord can provide. The Lord will provide. He has promised to provide for His children. And I would encourage you today to not lean on your own understanding, not to lean on your own estimation of things. I would instead encourage you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And you will find that He will direct your paths for you. And so God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday. Please, if you want any information about our church, you can look at the website. There's contact information for our secretary, but also for all of the pastors and staff that are here at Macedonia. And we definitely want not only to be a blessing, but we want to be a help to you. And so please let us, if there's anything that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to let us know. Thank you.